We will call to order the Board of Supervisors meeting at 8:55, and we will start by reciting the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Opens Meeting Act is posted on the east wall. Attendance by observation: Jurgens, Hill, Dorn, Lytle, and Byers. Consent agenda. One is the general agenda. Two is approved minutes of the meeting held September 12, 2018. Three, approve all claims through September 26, 2018 in the amount of $1,661,321.19. Accept claim number 18090246 to Johnny's Welding in the amount of $66.42, and 18090252 to RL Teeman Construction in the amount of $6,807.59 to be voted on separately below. Four, approve and place on file correspondence received. Five, approve utility permit number 1112 for Windstream Nebraska LLC will be boring in 500 feet of new cable below flow line in creek and setting new pedestals on each end of bore. Will cut existing cable and swing in two new pedestals. New cable will replace temporary cable ran for county bridge replacement on East Apple Road, located in southwest 4th of Section 1, Township 6 North, Range 7 East, Nemaha. Six, approve utility permit number 1113 for Norris Public Power District. Will be boring a 7.2 kV electric line 5 feet below bottom of ditches and under county road for 66 feet. Line will be encased in 2-inch core flex pipe located in the northwest 1/4 section 3 township 4 north range 6 east Midland. Southwest 1/4 section 34 township 5 north range 6 east Holt.
Move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Motion by Byers, seconded by Hill. Motion by Lytle, seconded by Hill. Yeah. And the big amount of the claims, we'll explain that later in finance.
Byers.
Yeah.
Apparently.
I knew who it was. I just said the wrong name. Vote.
He appreciates that.
Yeah. 5-0 in favor. Comments from, oh, no, hold it. Regular agenda. Approve or disapprove claim number 18090246 to Johnny's Welding in the amount of $66.42.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Lytle, seconded by Hill. Vote or in favor with Jurgens abstaining. Motion to approve or disapprove claim number 18090252 to R.L. Teeman in the amount of $6,807.59. This brings the total of claims approved through 9/26/2018 to $1,668,195.20.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Hill, seconded by Byers. Vote 5-0 in favor. Now, comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. And we need a name and address for the record.
Good morning. Barb Otto, OTTO, address 89194 Oak Road, Spencer, Nebraska. I have a little handout for each person. That'd be all right.
Well,
I'm doing that.
Well, yep,
thank you.
On the mic, kind of. Yeah. Right. It, since they're recorded, so.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
I'm going to give you this as well. I'll explain that in a minute.
All right. Watch your step.
Yeah, I see that. Okay. Give you that. Okay. Well, 3 years ago, I accepted a challenge from a lady in California. She's referenced in that little thing. Her name's Jackie Sullivan. She was asking for a volunteer in each state to work on a national campaign to get our national motto, In God We Trust, somewhere back on our courthouse walls. But back wasn't really the key word, because this is the 77th courthouse I've been to, and I haven't found it anywhere yet. So that's just how it's been. Currently, this campaign's active in 35 states. It's been 62 years since Congress passed the National Motto Act, and President Eisenhower signed it into law. Three reaffirmation votes since then, passed handily. I have a map showing in yellow the counties that I've been to. And
I'm just kind of working my way over there to the southeast part of the county, of the state, which I'm scared to go to Lincoln and Omaha, but I'll get there eventually. I realize this being informal, I'm not on the agenda, so I won't be getting questions and such. I gave your attorney a letter from the Pacific Justice Law Firm stating that they would defend a challenge pro bono if it were to occur. I've had all my county attorneys validate that and displaying our national motto stands on firm legal ground. So far, so good. I talked to them in May and they've had no serious challenges. I gave Dawn a sample resolution I made up. It's just a fill in the blank if that's what you would do at some future meeting. I have a picture of the sign we put up in Holt County. This was simply one of these little stick-on vinyl signs. That one cost $27.50. Doesn't have to be terribly expensive on this project. I have had so many different sign ideas come along the way, from extremely a big deal to others, just a very small sign right there. Doesn't have to be anything to cause any
issues.
Could you
show that photo again? I was looking at one.
Yeah.
Jim, please.
Old grandma here got up on the ladder, stuck that up there. We put one in the sheriff's office, one in the supervisor's room, and one in the clerk of the district court wanted one. And each of those groups paid for that themselves. They didn't feel we should spend taxpayer dollars because somebody's going to say that's not a good idea. So, just a thought. I've been asked to address the American Indian sovereign ground, slogans, the First Amendment, the Establishment Clause, and offending certain religions. But In God We Trust has actually been on our currency since 1863. It was minted in 1861 at the beginning of the Civil War. As you know, most government meetings begin with the Pledge of Allegiance and the phrase, One Nation Under God. I've been to counties that say a prayer before the meetings. It's not uncommon to take an oath of office with your hand on a Bible and say the words, So help me God. But my job is just to give you food for thought or debate. I just ask you, remember, when our founders wrote the Declaration, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, they referred many times to the hand of God, divine intervention, and providence. I've seen a lot of changes in America in my 70 years. I can't say they've all been good. Political correctness has exploded in the last few years. We've seen the Ten Commandments removed from courthouses, no praying in schools, taking down historical monuments, and ball players disrespecting our flag and anthem. Yet on a different note, last year, Florida, Tennessee, and Wyoming passed legislation to prominently display In God We Trust in all their public schools. And Minnesota had a similar bill. In our next unicameral, Senator Erdman is going to introduce a similar bill. So we'll be watching that. But being a representative government, you officials represent the fine folks of your county, and I recommend you poll them and see what your constituents think. And give it some thought. I've had fabulous success with this program. As I said, I think this is the 77th county I've been to. No questions? So, yeah.
Thank you for coming.
You bet. Yep. Thank you for listening.
Yep. Committee reports, building and grounds, winter lights. Dave was here. Yep.
Dave.
Good morning. I just had a few things. Two of them are on the agenda. The snow removal bids will be on the agenda and a proposal from Skyline Roofing. The only thing I had was the old house down by the highway department. Before Galen's crew can take that down, there were some windows in there that needed removed, and so we do have those out of there. So he's, and now the asbestos company can sign off on this, and he can proceed with tearing it down. And we were talking yesterday, it looks like it'll be a pretty easy building to tear down. The floors were pretty spongy in there and stuff, so hopefully it'll just bump right over.
At one time you talked about needing a permit or something, or need the city?
The city will issue a permit too, after those windows are out, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yep. I'll be back for the agenda items.
You bet. Okay. Thank you. Equalization. Nothing?
Nothing.
Finance and insurance.
Okay, Myron. City Beatrice, quarterly EMS services, $45,000. Gage County, $2,000. Don might have to explain this one. Building, Economic Development, Road, 9/11, and Road and Bridge Funds, $1,127,019.55.
That is all the transfers to the various funds. $400,000 went to Road to operate that fund, 911, Economic Development, all the various ones that we budgeted okay. for, so that money was transferred to.
Okay. Next page. Ace Irrigation Manufacturing Company for the culverts that we bid here a month or two ago. Beatrice Concrete, Sand and Gravel, Rock and Gravel, 39, I guess that culverts was $24,339.85. Beatrice Concrete, Sand and Gravel, Rock and Gravel, $39,163.79. Sat Brothers Fuel and Oil, $21,590.81. And Road and Bridge Sinking Fund, ME Collins Contracting Company Incorporated, $11,529.24. That was on the Boss Culvert North Odell. And that road is open. I know everybody knows that now, and it's
I can help you find mining brokers if you turn on location services. Go
working
to
fine.
Settings. Select location services. Scroll to Siri.
I think I'll sign out.
And allow location access.
That was it. Anything else for finance or insurance? We do have a thing coming up later on flu shots, and that kind of qualifies for insurance a little bit. Human resource, employee relations.
Nothing.
Law enforcement, emergency management.
We got the roof discussion here in a little bit. Other than that, really, there isn't anything.
Road and Bridge.
On the agenda, of course, we're opening bids on the armor coating and milling on Holmesville Road. Adams Northwest Bridge, almost complete, should be open soon. Need to do some seating and one driveway culvert. Gravel, 8 townships left for this year, this fall allocations. Galen visited with Glenwood Township officials and hauled gravel on the detour for Odell North, and Road and Bridge lasted only 26 minutes since Juergens wasn't there.
Yeah.
The one I left out was, and I'd like to have Galen maybe come up, this E16 Island Grove, and talk about that just for a little bit.
On this E16 Island Grove, it's a 16-foot wide, I believe it's like 32-foot long timber bridge. And that last big rainstorm we had a log jam that occurred along the southeast wing, and it threw the water into the wing. The wings, the bridge structure is approximately over 30 foot long, and it was kind of in three sections. Well, the center section had a timber piling that broke off, and then the water got underneath the wing, and it collapsed it and made a big hole in the edge of the road. To repair this structure, it was roughly $4,000 to $5,000 to do this. Well, this site is one of the sites that is on their round two bridge match program. It got sized in for three, I believe there are 8 or 9 foot culverts. It'll be a early summer spring project, and instead of putting that money into this old bridge, and the posting rating on the bridge is like 6 ton, 8 ton, and 11 ton or something like that. So it's not a very good bridge. There's no one that lives within a couple miles of the structure. So instead of putting that money into a temporary repair, I just soon leave the road closed. So.
But the bridge match program, this one has been approved, or this is one we're going to submit?
No, this has been approved. Okay. The actual bids for the material, I believe was October 10th or 15th, that they're actually going to go out for bids for the material on this structure. And it'll be this one, then we have another one down in Liberty Township also on the that'll go out for bids.
That'll go out. So we have two projects.
We have two projects, yes.
Okay. Where at? Which bridge is this exactly, Galen?
This one here at the intersection of the B line and Virginia Liberty Blacktop. If you go a mile west on the B line and then just go about an eighth of a mile south, this is where this is located at.
And it's not a very used road.
I was going to say, that's probably not used all that much, I don't think, is it?
And obviously, even if it was repaired, you still couldn't haul grain over it or anything, so.
Yeah, I can't imagine that would be a route that's used even for that even.
Yep.
Yeah.
Limited amount.
That's probably okay.
Yep, it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Gaten.
That's it. Anything else for Road and Bridge? No. We have timed events here at 9:15 and 9:30. We have 4 minutes for that. I don't know. We have the next item on the agenda is Gus and Lori discussing Sheriff's Distress Warrant Report and discussing approve or disapprove striking personal property taxes. So
Lori's not here yet. Machine done in that time.
Yeah.
Oh, you want to do that?
Let's do that.
Maybe I'll get that done before.
Okay,
minutes.
Let's do that. Approve or disapprove selling Sheriff's Office vending machine to First Choice Vending for $1,000. First Choice Vending will stock the vending machine for the county. Gus, you want to talk about that a little bit or why that came about?
Yeah, that came about. We went to our common store in the jail several months ago. We went to an outside vendor that takes care of all that for us, for the inmates. And so Don had been talking about how we can be a little more accountable on some of the numbers we have there and what we're doing. So one thing that takes a little time for staff to figure what's being worth it is the vending machine was owned by the county. And we thought we'd just get rid of that. Don't have to worry about that anymore. I contacted the company that was down here in the courthouse that has that system. They didn't want to go over there because it's not big enough, they said. I checked with this company up there in Lincoln, and they came down and they looked at it and said they'd probably give us around $1,000. They just leave it there and they just stock it themselves. And then that way it's just done and we don't have to worry about that portion of it. So that's kind of where this has come from. So just clean things up a little bit best we can.
Makes sense to me.
Makes sense, yeah.
So you'd have no more commissary? It would just all run through there?
No, there'll still be a commissary for the inmates, but that's run through a vendor. And then the other one we have will be incentive that if they behave once, I think it's on Friday that previous week, they can get that. And we run that. So we have that account. So that's done.
This is used mainly by the employees and the public then?
Yep.
Move to approve.
Second. Do we get profits off this?
I haven't talked to Matt Denny because he was here and is in a hurry, so I want to call and find out. Don, what you
we
get?
We do. We get a small amount.
It's just hardly nothing. Yeah.
From the one in the basement.
We'll certainly try maybe to get something. But honestly, he's given us about what we paid for that thing years back, so we're doing pretty good on that. So, but I'll check on that. And I'm sure they have something we have to sign anyway, so we'll find more of that out when it comes down to it.
But if they're stocking it, we're going to save all the money of mm-hmm. going to get the stuff to fill it with and stuff.
Little investment, never hurt a thing. We invest in that and sell it and make a profit, and that's good for the county. So
the price will be a little different, but I said that's part of doing business.
Price will be probably. Yep. Any other comments? If not, a motion was by Lytle and seconded by Juergens. I don't know if we had that down. Vote. Eric, you got your 6-0 in favor. We have just one more minute left, so we'll just wait here a second to open, close, or do the bids on the armor coating. Bidder bids. 9:14 on the clock there.
Good. Can you get flu shots in?
That's it.
We're going to have
bridges that.
Flu shot clinic?
We're going to have that discussion, yeah. You can get a flu shot.
They're
going to end up paying for it if they're not covered by insurance. Okay, we have 9:15 on the clock. Entertain a motion to close, accept, reject, or award bids. I'll entertain a motion to close bidding on the mill and armor coating of 3 miles of asphalt east of 67 and 28 Rockford Holmesville Blacktop.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Hill, second by Juergens. Vote 6-0 in favor.
All right.
Okay.
This first one is from Dust Roll Incorporated out of Lincoln, Nebraska. Total for cold milling is $33,679.01. If standard tooth spacing is allowed, unit price will be reduced to $19,370.74. And Galen will explain this in a little bit. He spoke to me about this earlier. Let's read the other bid in. This one is from Top Coat Incorporated of Yankton, South Dakota. Total for cold milling, no bid. Total for armor coating, $64,861.64. And they've got a start date of October 1st. I guess I didn't look at the date on this one. Don't really see a date on this, Galen, but I might have missed it.
Let's hope it's before the armor coat.
What?
Yeah.
Galen, would you explain that as far as why we have the two bids here?
Yes. I talked with Ryan with Manila Wagner's this morning. He gave me a call, and Dust Roll had contacted them. And in the specifications, they had a minimum of 16 cutting teeth per foot of width, which is a transverse spacing of approximately 0.2 inches. And the standard milling is about half as many teeth. And Dust Roll had told them, they said they'll bid it per the spec or with the standard, because if they have to go and put in all these 60 cutting teeth, they'd have to tear their drum down and completely redo it to do this. And so it would be about twice the amount of money on this. With talking with Ryan, I said, well, what is the big difference? Well, he said the reason they put in 60 cutting teeth on the milling machine, it gives you a finer cut, so it's a smoother surface. He said you go with say about as half as many teeth, and you'll have a rougher cut, so you may have a little bit more road noise out of it. As far as doing the same thing, it does the same thing other than the type of cut you get on your surface of your asphalt on that. Structurally, he said it'd be no difference. So,
And I guess my question is, I mean, Dust Roll is doing almost all the milling around here. Everything they've been doing for armor coating has been the standard spacing.
Just standard spacing, yes. So, and I asked Ryan that, and he said they just put in a spec because they just like to use that finer milling cut, because like I said, it is a smoother surface, but he said for the difference in money, he said that'd be the board's decision.
Have they done any milling for armor coat in the area?
Oh, they didn't go by the bid.
I just lay awake at night thinking of this stuff.
I can't think of anything they've done.
They're just milling? I have no idea on that.
In this case, what they quoted at the reduced price is a standard mill cut.
Correct.
So, I'd like to, I mean, to me, a little rougher surface isn't going to hurt that road. And it's going to be armor coated, and that's going to smooth it up anyway. That little rougher cut on there, which is standard, everybody remember, is probably what I would prefer. What I'd like to do is refer these, both these bids, let Galen and Becky go through them and come up with a recommendation on this.
You need to refer them. And I only bring this up because we've had issues before or whatever. Yep. The bid was for all the teeth.
Yep.
And Rogers brought it up before. Would have we had somebody else bid if it would have been with the other specifications?
Particularly where the other one was standard. You're asking for above standard, yeah, as I understand the bid, right?
Yeah.
So that may have let some people out that don't have the time, nor the equipment, nor the money to put in that those extra teeth in the drum type thing. I know what you're saying, but
I'm not blaming that company. I'm asking why Manelli Wagner's didn't, or why. I mean, we approved to put those out to bids, but. I guess most of us don't have the idea of whether it's good or bad.
Rule of thumb, that finer teeth spacing, they call it like a fine lace mill. So if it's going to be something that's left exposed, a lot of times they'll do the fine lace mill or whatever, which is just a tighter tooth spacing. If they're going to do a mill and overlay, then they use a standard tooth pattern because it's getting the asphalt over the top of it. Mm-hmm. And so it is a little more gnarly. So, I'm sure that's why it was bid that way, is because it's going to be left exposed versus covered up. I don't know, on that road, I mean, if you get truck traffic and some heat and armor coat, is that going to smooth back out anyway? It's a temporary fix.
I can't definitely say on that. I would say probably not, but that's just my opinion.
We're going to be reworking this in, what, John, 7-8 years we'll be readdressing this road? One or two.
Or 9 and 10.
I was going to say 2 to 3, but I don't.
Well, we all remember this is a temporary fix to get rid of the running in the road is what this is for.
And I think you're right. We probably haven't milled any roads that we've come back and armor-coated, but the state surely has. I mean,
but I think they mill it. If they use that fine mill, they just leave it. You know, they'll do a mill and then just leave it. Like we saw that a lot on the interstate where they'd mill the interstate and then leave it milled.
For a longer period of time. I mean, they're
for good.
It was for good.
And then the other question I have, what about the materials that are coming off?
Material that come off, I believe it's wrote up in the spec that if we want the material, the county will have to furnish the trucks to haul them away. And if not, they'll just take and mill it over the edge, and then a guy can blade it off the motor grader. But I would, my opinion is we ought to keep the stuff, and I could haul it and stockpile it in my war yard.
Yes,
we do use various.
I agree.
I agree too. Yeah,
that's a valuable product if you need it.
Yeah.
So
Eric, I guess what you're saying is that now for a temporary fix, is it really necessary for the fine cut? Or not?
I don't know.
I mean, I guess my question, what I struggle with is we pay Manelli Wagner fairly well to recommend this stuff. Why? I guess I don't understand why we didn't bid it both ways. Yeah. Why they put it in the specs that way? Because it seems to have tied our hands as to what we can do.
And that is a very valid question. You know, we could have bid it both ways if either was acceptable, but, you know, they didn't give them both options.
In talking with Ryan this morning, he said the reason it was in the specs this way is they like the finer cut when they do a armor coat on top of it, was his explanation.
But just because he likes it or because there's a good reason for it?
Well, it just gives a smoother surface on there.
So. Why don't you give his office another call and see if he's got any more advice on it?
Okay, we'll do.
Well, at this point, it don't matter. We didn't bid it that way.
We didn't bid it that way.
I think you probably better look at it. You know, I mean, to me, the decision comes from the board as far as doing the specs based on your consultants that you pay for.
Yeah.
And if this is one of those, okay, I understand. Maybe we missed that or whatever. But you decide if you want the quieter road that's going to be replaced fairly quickly, or the one that's a little. And again, I suspect that roll your window up, you're not going to notice it. I don't know.
Maybe not.
You're talking almost double money.
An extra $14,300.
Oh, okay. $309.
And that's a smaller part of the cost on it.
Yeah.
It may well be like Hickory Road. One of them didn't meet specs, and we paid somebody else more money.
But no, you hit the nail on the head. You got to be right with all your potential bidders.
If you set the precedent that you're not going to pay attention to your specs right now, then moving forward, what's your precedent that you've set?
And we've had situations where we've had, we looked at this when the bids came in and said, let's redo it.
And
it's a delay, and this time of year, it gets dicey.
Right.
I don't.
Real dicey.
I guess, Galen, that's a question I have for you, Galen. If we delayed this to rebid it again, this project probably wouldn't get done this fall.
No. We're pushing it to get it done now.
And we have two companies here that are bidding actually to do the milling and the overlay. We have two bids here. It's just a matter of, we didn't bid it with the lower quality of mill, saving $14,000. We didn't put a bid out that way. So for us to accept that, that's the...
And this would follow state standards, too, though. I mean, if you're going to have an exposed surface like that, I'm sure it would be that tighter mill pattern. The other thing with bidding it a different way, I'm pretty sure there's one company in this area that has... I mean, it's not a matter of just putting different teeth in. It's a whole different drum. So I think, there may be three or four mills that are the standard spacing. I think there's only one company that has the tighter spacing. So that would potentially change who may have looked at it.
In other words, what you're saying is there was a pretty good possibility that we could have had more people bid if we would have included the other one.
Unlikely, but possible.
But there are companies out there that could do it.
Standards.
But this would follow kind of NDOR standards with an exposed. I'm with Terry, though. I think it'd be fine with the rough.
We'd have to work together.
So I'm okay either way.
Right, but it goes back to the question of we have had the discussion about specs, and we've turned one or two.
Well, I think you have to either take your bid with your specs, don't you, right now, if you want to move forward?
Probably.
Well, with your specs if you're wanting that.
The other possibility, and I'm thinking outside here, if the road's in such a state that this becomes an emergency, you can go around your competitive bidding. I haven't heard that, and I don't know if we could make that argument.
John can make it.
Yes, you can make that argument.
Roger, the board has had several of the board members, including myself, have had phone calls about this it's rained,
I understand
the safety issues. So, in that respect, it's.
It's grooved pretty good.
It's
grooved.
I've been
dangerous.
When we discussed it in committee meetings Monday, Galen thought some of the rutting was one to 2 inches deep, at least an inch deep. And, that's a lot of water. I mean, and they're wide enough you can't drive outside of them hardly.
Part of the reason why we bid this the way we did this fall was so that we could get this done this fall. The emergency part you're looking at is if we decided to delay this to allow other companies to come back in and bid, we're not going to get it done this fall.
Galen?
That's what I'm getting to. And then you got winter set in, yada, yada, yada.
Do you think it's more likely that this gets done if it's the standard cut as opposed to the fine cut? Is that... That time that it takes them to do the changeover and all that, is that factor into their schedule or timing? Because you said they were pressed even getting it done this fall.
There's actually on the
with this bidding
on the Dust Rolls bid document, they have a start as 10/10/18, finish 10/12/18. So and we'll have to coordinate between the armor coaters and the milling, because milling has to come first. On that, as far as time difference, that I can't really answer. I mean, I'm sure it'd be a day or so quicker, possibly, if they could pull in with their machine with the all set up. I can't answer that really. So, but I do know. I guess we were fortunate for one reason, because when I did talk to Topcoat 3-4 weeks ago, and because they're the ones that usually get our armor coat bids, I asked them if they were going to be in the area and possibly might be available to do this, and they just happened to be down in this area. They had three or four smaller towns in the surrounding area, so they would be down here. So I think that's one of the main reasons that we got we won out on getting the armor coating done 30. Because it's pretty hard to get an outfit to come down for just 3 miles.
Right.
So they were in the area. That's one reason we got this armor coating.
The armor coating itself.
As far as dust roll, they're out Lincoln. So I don't think it'd be that big a deal.
Galen?
Yes.
I guess my question is, on the armor coating, how did that quote out there as far as per mile? How did that?
Higher than normal. We'd been under 15,000 other times. Yeah. This time it's...
It's less than that, Myron.
Yeah.
That's for 3 miles. Or is that the way that quote was, per mile?
This is a little over 20,000 a mile.
This is...
A little over 20,000 a mile to armor coated?
Some different towns, that's about what the towns get, like Beatrice, I think.
That's what it is?
Just
I was thinking the last time we did it, it was 15 or less, wasn't it? 12 to 15, yeah.
Yeah, 21.6. Right. The last time we did it, I think, was under 15, yeah.
I think it was 12.
Right? Yeah.
Just over 12.
Yeah,
that was,
I think you're right.
30 miles, too.
Exactly, Myron. You're right.
The cost of the oil was cheaper at that time, too. I don't know how much, but it was down a little bit. But this is like 21,620 per mile.
Roughly. Per mile?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
There's the total prices.
Well, where do we go from here? My preference would be, I don't know about the legal issues, to leave it a little rougher. It's going to be safer in the winter to drive it anyway that way when you get ice and snow and everything on it, rather than slick, smooth surface. But I don't know about the legal issues, right?
Well, other than the emergency situation, basically you're going to have to rebid it. But if you got a declared emergency, you're going to have to document that. I mean, all it takes is one vendor that's not happy. Now, I don't know, for 3 miles, again, shouldn't analyze it that way. But,
I would doubt, this just guessing, we will have one bidder next time if we redo it. I mean, I would doubt for 3 miles, that's not a huge job, this time of year especially.
Yeah. Well, I think, like Galen just explained, it's more a courtesy that I'll swing by and help you out here. But we still have to dot our I's and cross our T's. So if you're going to do that, declare the emergency based on weather, on condition of the road continuing to deteriorate. And I would say also the availability of vendors to address the issue. I mean, would we get two bidders here?
One for each.
One for each. One for milling and one for armor coating.
And you didn't get any other phone calls or anything like somebody that might be able to help you a couple weeks later?
I guess when you do your assessment before you come back to the board, you could check with them and see if it would delay the project by doing the fine tooth.
That would be good to know.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you ready to make a recommendation, Galen, or you want to check with some people? Or?
We want him to study it.
Do what?
Check on those things. Come back.
I can go make a phone call.
Okay. So we'll come back and I think if we do this and we make a motion that we're declaring this basically an emergency situation, if you went with the top coat bid and the cheaper milling, you're looking at a little over $84,000 to do the 3 miles.
28, and if you go, 28 a mile.
Yeah, 28 a mile.
And if you do the other, you're looking at 98.
Other than that, you're looking at waiting until next year. And like I said, we've had several phone calls. Wait. And John, I know John's been visited about it, but we've several of the board members have had phone calls about the issues going on in that road. Well, so
and worse, you get moisture in those grooves and then freeze it.
Yeah,
that's going to create issues also.
Yeah,
you might. I don't know if the sheriff can add anything too, because I know your deputies travel that regularly. Would you agree that that's become more dangerous as we?
Right.
Anything we can put in the record that would help.
Okay. We do have another timed event here. We'll move on to the other timed event. It was supposed to be a 9:30 timed event, and it's 9:35 on the clock. Close, accept, reject, or award bids for 2018-2019 snow removal for the courthouse, sheriff/jail,
Veterans Office, former bus stop location, and parking lots. Entertained a motion to close.
Move to close the bids.
Second.
Motion by Hill, second by Juergens. Vote 6-0 in favor. Do we have bids?
We have one. Buildings and grounds.
Buildings and grounds.
I got a letter opener.
Right here. Here's this.
That's
kind of
pretty
adorable.
Nice. Cost you a lot of money.
It cost somebody a lot of money.
Look at that mess.
Where?
Oh, Joel, they're sharpening up.
This? No, Joe did that.
Okay, we have a proposal agreement for snow removal on the north parking lot, North Rock parking lot, Sheriff Garage Lot C, Sheriff Driveway East parking lot, Courthouse East diagonal parking, Courthouse driveway, so we can get that car Gus up there. Sorry. Lot at former bus stop property location, Veterans Office driveway to be done with snow blower. The lump sum dollar proposal for less than 6 inches of snowfall, $629. Lump sum dollar proposal for more than 6 inches of snowfall, $795. Spreading ice, melt, and gravel in the parking lot areas if needed, $85 a yard. We'll only spray if we do snow removal. Sidewalks, lump sum dollar proposal for less than 6 inches of snowfall, $549. Lump sum dollar proposal for more than 6 inches of snowfall, $799. The contractor is Joe Armstrong, BLC, something or another. 1250 Lakeview Lane, Beatrice. I think that's the only...
That's the only bid we had?
Bid that we have. I would say in the past they have done this work for us, have done an excellent job. I think we've been pleased with it, and I don't see any problem with this bid whatsoever. Davey, do you see any problem?
No. A lot of the prices stay the same. There's a little bit of difference in the more than 6 inches, but we did include the bus stop, which wasn't on.
So these haven't changed appreciably from last year?
No. A couple of them went up $50 more, and then the largest would be the more than 6 inches of snow went up $100 from $699 to $799.
So entertaining.
Probably the bus stop should come out of the sheriff's budget since we're putting his evidence over there, right?
Yep. Any way to ding him?
Okay. I would move that we accept this agreement.
Motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Motion by Byers, seconded by Juergens. Vote. 5 in favor with Tiemann abstaining.
We want to award it now, too?
We did.
Oh.
I thought we were just accepting the bid. What he said is accept.
I was moving to approve.
Do we?
Well, I just took that as accepting a meaning motion for it. So
okay.
Yes.
I guess.
Did you? What was your motion for?
My motion was to accept their proposed agreement.
Accept their proposed agreement. So now we need to award them the bid.
Well, I guess accepting is awarding, but okay. I would move the award.
You could just add the words accept and award since okay. There's
accept
one
and
bid.
Award. Is that okay with you, Terry?
Yes.
Any more discussion on that?
I saved you some time. Thank you, Roger.
Well, vote.
We did.
5-0. Right. 5 in favor of team and abstaining.
Yeah, I'll
okay.
Let you get by with that. You were right, Lynn.
I don't know that anybody would have questioned it.
Gaylon, are you ready? Or?
Yeah, I'm ready. I spoke with Justin with Dustrol, and he said that the dates, the start date, 10-10, and the end date is 10-12, was bid with the 60 teeth, the finer mill. He said the regular standard mill, he said it'd still be the same start dates. He said the only difference would be the milling, it goes a little faster when you do the standard mill than the fine teeth mill. He said you might gain a half a day in time is the only difference. So
top coat going to be able to come in after them still?
That's something I will check on. I know they've been talking back and forth. I can give them a call.
The two companies have been talking back and forth.
Yes, they have talked back and forth. I do know that.
So. Any more, John?
No, the only thing I was saying, the start dates are the same with either one. So.
Do you want to pay the extra $14,000? That's the question, I guess.
If not, we need to make a motion and basically declare an emergency based on the facts that we've stated, and make a motion that you want to do the
$19,000 bid.
But that is how Minnelli recommended it. His office recommended it.
But Galen talked with Minnelli's office this morning, and you talked about the difference in the two and that they were okay with the cheaper one?
They were okay with it, yes. And the reason they called me is because, like I said, there was a difference in the where they specified the fine cutting, yeah. You know, and the standard, and said that there would be a difference in the prices. And that's why they said if you do want to go with this, they'll amend it and put it in the contract, you know, to Destrol when they do it. Didn't seem to have a problem with it either way.
Yep. We're to the point then we need a motion to go one way or the other, whatever the board...
Roger, if you had to, knowing what we're saying, it could create the emergency. Do you feel comfortable with that as an attorney? If we would move forward considering this as an emergency process,
if we were sitting and this was May 15th, I wouldn't be comfortable at all. But we're at the end of the season, and with all the variables that we've talked about here. It's now or never, and I quite frankly, if somebody wants to sue me over the fact that over the course of this winter we may lose a life on a fatality on that road, sue me. I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, that's
it. I mean, the whole thing is just what I think John says is safety.
But it's not so much gray, and it's more black and white.
Again, that's why you have the emergency exception to your competitive bidding. I mean, you tried to do this all the way up to the day, and then it's like, oh, darn it. And through nobody's fault, it just happened. So, you know, again, if you wait, we're going to sit here until next year, and again, whether these two companies or anybody else is out there doing bigger projects and available for this little 3-mile stretch, we don't know. That's completely speculative.
So if you're, if you're comfortable with it, then I guess.
But they're staying.
I think with that understanding, so that I shared Galen's observations that most of these people aren't going to get too excited about a 3-mile stretch. Not like going to make their year or not. It's more of, we'll help Gates County out by getting this done so you don't have a problem.
So do we need to have a motion that declares this an emergency?
I would say as part of your motion put in that you're declaring, if you're going to go with as your specs,
right?
Go with your specs. But you're still going to have an issue, and I'll just be quite frank, if you declare an emergency based upon the specifications, that will be an issue. Can I create an emergency by specifications?
And I'm not sure we can declare an emergency because the start date is and the finish date is the same for both of them.
This isn't an emergency.
The emergency, John, would be that if we determined that we were okay with saving the money, which would mean the standard took, we'd have to rebid it, which would mean you're looking at another... How many weeks before we would be able to open bids again, Don? 6 weeks?
4 to 6 weeks.
6 weeks?
Yeah.
That would be the emergency, is that the timing would be not this year.
The emergency is, I agree with Gary. The emergency isn't that. If we have to rebid this, we're not most likely, we will not get the project done until next year.
Right. Nope. That would be the emergency.
Yeah. But Eric had a question, too.
The only thing I would say is I'm okay either way, I think, with the rough, unless Galen thinks there's a problem with the coarse mill. The only thing is, like him and I just talked about, we've put it out and we have followed specs as bid. I mean, and I'm okay either way. I'm just throwing that out there that as a rule of thumb, we do follow whatever's bid.
Follow specs. Well, let me make it easy for you, easier for you. You spec this thing. And again, there's reasons for that. I would suggest you follow your specifications. If the timeline is what everybody's saying it is, go with what the better.
So in that respect, if we want to get it done this fall, we need to go with the specs that we did.
Yeah. My preference would be to, I think it would be a better road surface in the long run, ice, snow, everything else, to have the coarse one. But the situation we're in, I would say let's bid it with the, or let's, I would make a motion to approve both bids as presented with using the fine tooth as was on the specs per the bid document.
And I'll second that.
Motion by Jurgen, second by Hill. Now any more discussion?
And chalk it to experience, because I'm like Gary. I think the rougher road, save the money.
This is another situation where bidding isn't always going to save you money. Any more discussion? It's to go with the top coat bid of $64,861 and the milling bid of $33,679. That was a motion, correct?
Yes.
Vote. 1, 2, 3, 4 in favor, and Lytle and Tiemann voting against. I guess Jurgens, Hill, Dorn, and Byers voting for, and Lytle and Tiemann voting against. I know we didn't talk where the money was coming from, but the money's probably coming out of
Sheriff's Department.
Most likely out of inheritance or out of road and bridge sinking.
Or road and bridge sinking.
One or the other. Okay.
Why don't we take it out of Minnelli's money?
Yeah.
We could repave the county out of that money.
But totally for that.
No, this was not put in Galen's budget. And if we need to, we'll talk more later in the future here where that money comes out.
Galen. Galen, I would like
to. We have five?
Yeah.
We have five left.
Five what?
Oh, yeah, you do know.
Board members. I was counting.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Where are you going? It's too early to calf.
You.
Myron, but I'd like to have a little bit of discussion with Galen a little bit.
Okay.
If we're gonna depend on Minnelli so much to do so many of these things, in my mind, when we have a project like this, if it's okay to do the standard cut, then I think he should be told that it needs to be bid both ways. I mean, for the money and time that we give that guy, I think that that's the least that they could do for us and not put us in this situation.
Absolutely.
I agree with you wholeheartedly, because here was a situation where we could have saved money on this project.
Yep. And if it had been bid that way,
Eric might have known enough about billing. The average person on
there not representing us for what we're paying them by not giving us advice in this.
The average person on this board does not understand milling at all to know enough that there is these two options.
I wouldn't have thought about the difference. The thing I would say, I would guess as a rule, an engineer is going to go with state spec. My guess is, I don't know this, but my guess is if you're going to leave it open, they'd go with a fine mill. Would be common practice. That's my guess.
And generally, the only time they leave it open is when they're milling concrete, not asphalt. I don't know if I've ever seen asphalt left open. Have they? Long term?
I've never done it.
Yeah.
Okay. On the next agenda item here, approve or disapprove.
We looked up what we
have. Oh, no, hold it. We have Gus and Lori, Sheriff Gus and Lori Wallenberg, verifying Sheriff's distress warrant report and discuss and approve or disapprove striking personal property taxes. You want to come and give your discussion?
Okay.
Sorry.
Yes, the first one we'll do is the Sheriff one on the distress warrant. We only have one, and I don't know if I need to say his name, but it's $179.71. So that would just strike it. We can still collect it, but he doesn't have to go out and try.
He doesn't have. That's what we're verifying, so that then he doesn't have to go out and try. Basically, is it still what I call sitting out there in limbo, that it's still due?
Right.
But we just aren't actively going to pursue it. Based on the fact that it's probably uncollectible, or...
I have no property.
No problem. Anything. Okay.
So do we need to, I'll ask Don, do we need to make a motion to approve that?
Yeah, there's some,
Or are we doing that later?
One or two together, whatever, however you want to do it.
We'll go with number two then. Discuss and approve or disapprove striking personal property taxes. What is that?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Number two. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And the next list is the advertising list up to 2015. These are the taxes that did not sell at the last tax sale. So then we put them on a county sale now. And there aren't very many. The ones with the BK are the ones that are in bankruptcy. And the ones with the CO by it, they're already in a county sale. So there's just a few. The total comes to $1,673.94 for the new ones.
$1,673.94.
Mm-hmm.
And you said the ones with the CO mean what?
They're already at a county sale.
Okay.
So I noticed a lot of them, some of them were, well, you had $2.30, $1.88, and some of them, the paperwork is...
Rory, what was your total on that again?
$1,673.94.
Pretty much any of those that were, I'll just call it $500 or more or $300 or more, they've been cleared up.
They buy those taxes, but these they don't.
So what you're saying is the people that come into counties and buy taxes, these aren't even financially...
Right.
I mean, financially feasible that they want to do it. So that's why we still have them.
Correct.
Okay. Any questions? I think... Just the next one is approve or disapprove those, isn't it?
That's the delinquent tax.
To issue county tax sales.
Oh, okay.
So this is to issue county tax sales, and the other one is to, yeah.
So we need to approve these reports?
What she's doing there, I think you have.
We need to approve verifying the sheriff's distress warrant and approve striking the personal property tax that Lori gave us the list for.
So moved. I moved to verify the sheriff's distress warrant report.
And? Are you going to include the other one?
And to approve striking the personal property tax
report.
Second.
Motion by Byers, second by Hill. Go ahead.
If we strike those, then they're not owed anymore and they won't go to a county sale?
Oh, no.
Okay. That was all on just the distress warrant, his report, that one. And then the other one, and yes, he doesn't have to go out and collect them. But the next one is the delinquent tax list, and then those go into a county sale. So there's actually
two different categories and two different motions.
So we are not striking the... Personal
real estate
property taxes?
No, that's the personal property taxes. You're just saving Gus. Keep going out, which by statute he has to unless you excuse it because it's not collectible.
Oh, so we are striking it, but it still goes to county sale.
That's personal property versus real estate. The real estate, Lori, that's basically the next paragraph, if you will. So Mr. Byers' motion dealt with one and two under that, which is personal property.
Okay, I didn't understand.
No, that's okay. Well, it's easy to confuse them because they're completely different ways that that Lori has to account and Gus has to follow through.
Lori, do you feel that Gus tried in every way to go and get these?
Yes, I do.
How come he wasn't successful?
You'll have to ask him.
Has he been successful in other years?
Yes. He does a good job.
We've got a cop in the door. Are we okay?
I'll take this back then.
Okay. So again, he needs...
The sheriff did a good job last year on those and continues to do a good job.
Okay. All right.
So maybe we needed to send backup to get to collect these taxes, too, apparently.
Oh, and I misunderstood your two and went on to this one. That was my fault.
Yeah, I've got there's two different papers you gave us here, or whatever. Yeah. This has the list of the distress warrants.
Yes, I see that.
The one you had in your right hand is the real estate, though.
Yes.
Okay, I and did see be, that. Then I was.
That will be later here. So I quoted off the wrong list, even too.
And the difference between right and left.
Even. Well, I semi understood it.
Yeah, we.
Personal property taxes. Then how much? That was
that
the $1,673. No.
Okay.
So that's why there's this confusion.
Yeah,
yes.
The personal property, as far as that was the distress warrant.
Yes.
Okay, that was the one with Gus.
Yes.
Sorry.
So that $1,673.94 goes down on our so agenda on the next paragraph. Yes.
Yes.
We got ahead of ourselves, and I helped confuse you. Yes.
Yeah, no, I
doesn't take
I
much.
Misunderstood.
Okay, we do have that motion, though, for 1 and 2 that Denny had and John seconded to approve Sheriff's Distress Warrant Report and approve striking the personal property taxes with that warrant.
Right.
Any more? Everybody okay with it? Vote. Four in favor with oh, 5 in favor, 5-0 in favor. Now the next... The next agenda item, approve or disapprove receiving treasurer's list of delinquent taxes on parcels of real estate in the county, which remain unsold for want of bidders, and directing the county treasurer to issue county tax sales on the delinquent taxes. That's this list, what we were talking about.
Sorry.
I was talking
yes, about. Yes, sorry. About the yep. confusion.
Yeah. And there's about, oh, it looks like maybe 30, 40 names on there or whatever. Still left 20 to 40 names, I don't know. And those are the ones that anybody that's above the $351, that amount or greater, somebody has come in and already bought those. So these are...
Right. I'm moved to approve with the condition that no county representation is there that can purchase property.
I agree.
For
the
explain
county.
That.
County.
For the county.
Nobody bid on that other one.
No, I'm just saying.
And before it even gets to that point, we'll take a look at it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that was one of those that we never had nobody there to bid on it. That ended up state statutes, and that's the way it went, and we were required to now be the owner of that
so
property.
So we'll back it up a step before that. Yeah.
So I can just move to approve this and don't have to have the rider?
Nope.
Okay.
What's your motion then?
I move to approve receiving the treasurer's list of delinquent taxes and putting them up for county tax sale on the delinquent ones.
The motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Motion by Thiemann, seconded by Byers. Vote. 5-0 in favor. Next item, approve or disapprove consulting agreement between Gage County. County and Skyline Construction for roof on county jail. And Dave, you want to visit? They came down Monday and met with us and gave a lot of discussion on it. I did also go up to Roger and visit with him about what we had discussed, and that way he was going to be up to speed here today a little bit more.
Okay. So. Yeah, and this goes back to... we did have two leaks in the jail, so we had Dave Maines come down. He patched those, and he told me at that time that it looked like we did have some hail damage. So I did contact NERMA. Bill Hilton came down, and he looked at the the damage. And from what we saw, it looked like there were 36 hits on the roof from hail, and there might be more. He told me to get an estimate from Dave Maines, Skyline Roofing, to patch, to power wash and patch the roof. When I gave that information to Dave Maines, he asked if he could come to the committee reports. He's concerned with putting that many patches on, so he came up with a proposal to see if he could deal directly with the insurance company.
And you've had the discussion a little bit with our insurance company already about this roof, so that they're aware of the fact that the there could be damage or...
Well, as far as Bill Hilton, he just knows that there's damage that should be able to be patched, and Dave Maines has a different view of how to fix it.
So our insurance company doesn't want to pay to have the roof completely redone.
Right.
So there, never mind.
Well, what I would keep in mind, I think two things you got to keep separate. If you're going to hire a consultant, that's a consultant.
Yeah.
I would strongly, I would highly recommend that you not hook a consultant agreement with a project. Anytime you have a vendor as a consultant, folks, it becomes an issue. And I'm not talking about Mr. Maines. I'm just saying as a general rule, again, if it becomes, and I understand, you know, it's a specialty roof. Well, they all are when they leak. And I'll just leave it at that. You know, anybody in here that's not been involved with an organization that had a flat roof and had an ulcer as a result of it just hasn't been on a board. But that's a concern I have. If you want to go that way, there's no statute that specifically prohibits it. Interestingly enough, there is a new law out there dealing with homeowners on this kind of projects where the guy comes up, and I notice you have some damage up there. I'll tell you what, I'll represent you. I'll go get your insurance money, and I'll also do your roof. And the legislature saw a need last year that says there's a lot of that going on. We want to make sure these are qualified, competent people, not preying on the public. And so it hasn't got to commercial yet. But, again, it's something the legislature has looked at. Again, if I guess I know they put that roof on over there, and they said that the warranty would be waived if there was patchwork.
Right.
The warranty is workmanship, as I understand it.
Right.
Again, I don't like the, you know, you're not going to have a claim for workmanship at this point. How old is that roof?
We only have about a year and a half or so left.
So we're 13 years old.
Yeah.
So if you made a claim on workmanship right now, I'll just leave there.
Right.
Again, you know, I know, Dave, you've gone up there and looked at it. I haven't had a chance. I haven't spoke with Hilton, nor I wasn't directed to do so, and that's outside my province. You know, if he says patch it, what's the problem as far as?
According to Skyline Roofing, the age of the roof, it can be patched. He did not know how long those patches would stay adhered. He said it's harder as the roof gets older to do that. One thing that I've noticed, I went up there and I did wash that roof. It's, you know, it's dark and sappy looking, and so you have to wash it to see the damage, and it's just little hairline circles in there. Well, I noticed as it looks like there isn't anything there until you start really looking, and then you do see these. So I'm sure there's a lot of them that I did not see, and that's where Dave said the issues with that roof is if moisture does get into that foam underneath, and then if we have to have that roof replaced, it's the whole tear off of the foam and everything, where at this time, if he replaced, he could just remove just that Duralast itself and replace that portion of it.
Roger, where's the liability with the insurance company? If they patch this and it doesn't last very long and we get leaks again, does the insurance company have any liability, or are their hands washed of it and they're done?
Again,
how hard should we fight on this to get a new roof?
I mean, basically, you look when people give you a warranty on a roof, like I got 20-year shingles on them with 30-year shingles. They don't say that shingles are going to last 30 or 20 years. You know, if everything is perfect, they should last that long. But at the end of 15 years, we have a hailstorm go through and wipes out my roof. I don't get a new roof. It's prorated. And that, most insurance companies, I'm not going to say all of them, but I think that's pretty much an industry standard now. You don't get a brand new roof. You have to put some money into it yourself. And again, I haven't spoke with Mr. Hilton, but I suspect that's probably the situation. He's just saying, you know, if you can patch it and get through for a few years, I have no idea what a patching would cost because I don't even know how they patch that. You know,
they just scrub it, clean it, and glue it on.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that's basically it. Just cuts squares. That's what I didn't know, if we should be fighting for a new roof, because it's going to be tougher later if it just fails on its own later because it's old, versus it's leaking now because of hail. Now we have a case because there was hail. if we glue some stuff on there, do we not have a case later? Then? Well,
and I'm sure we could talk to them. Part of that would be they're going to allow us to find who we want to do the patchwork. I'm sure they're not going to pay for the patch. I mean, they'll pay it to us to reimburse us for the patchwork. But that you identify an absolute. Is it going to be the patch that leaks, or is it going to be the initial hail damage that leaks? And I don't know what we're talking about as far as I haven't heard any estimates as far as the patching.
No, we have not had any.
So I think, you know, I mean, this is just for what it's worth, department. We don't know what our cost is at.
I mean, I would say just rough guess, $5,000.
But I think that's something we need to know, because this agreement is for 20% of the difference between what the insurance company is offering us now and what, you know, it gets changed to. We don't have a starting point at this time. And we need to know what the insurance company wants to offer.
I'd ask them, because again, with this kind of roof, I don't know if Mr. Hilton can come up with that, or they'll get somebody that can come up with a number. And maybe it's somebody that we can both agree on and can go up and do the repair work.
It does have to be somebody
with the condition that if it doesn't work,
licensed Duralast installer. Yeah,
and I guess this, you know, Duralast roof is supposed to be the ultimate, you know. But if we don't have a hail warranty, and if it's void after we patch it, is it that good a warranty? Is there a better one out there?
Duralast's building has a sloped metal roof. Where they produce Duralast.
That's the issue we've always had at the detention center. There is a lot of ponding that goes on.
Yeah.
And it is a very flat roof.
Yeah. Yeah, that's usually quite often. I know that St. John did the same thing after doing the flat routine for I don't know how long. Finally did a slope on it and still did that fabric, whatever, your membrane, because there's so much of that out there, and everybody's got the best product. And usually after you go through that a few times, you do slope it in some way. Because the original design on flat roofs was exactly that. The engineers designed them to hold water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which the first time I had one tell me that, I'm like, and you're still in business? What? But it's for insulation purposes, et cetera.
So Davey, what's the advantage to Skyline to having a consulting agreement with Skyline? What is his advantage to us? We shouldn't need anybody to. I don't understand why we need somebody to negotiate with our insurance company for us.
I guess he just explained that he could bring his expertise into this to explain to the insurance company why he thinks the roof should be completely replaced instead of patched.
Shouldn't we be able to deal with our insurance company and tell them that our we got a recommendation that it's different? I mean, why do we need? I guess I don't understand why he needs to be a consultant for us in order to do that. As somebody that's doing work for us, he should do that anyway. Am I wrong?
I think it's that probably is something, at least maybe have Mr. Hilton come down and meet with the committee and have a face-to-face, you know, saying, hey, we've got an opinion here that you can't fix this, you know, our roof. We need to replace it. And as with most situations, a lot of time there's give and take with your insurance carrier. And
sure. That's
just the way it is. I mean, they want to keep you as a client, and you want to get your roof fixed as cheaply as possible, but make sure it works so that we don't have this coming back next spring. But I don't know, like I said, I don't know if Dave, if he's, that puts a lot of pressure on Dave, too.
That does. Maybe you could see if they wouldn't come down and visit with us at our next committee meeting or whatever, which is going to be on the Friday, not the Monday.
Okay.
And Denny will be there.
Friday.
October.
I would agree. And then if you run into loggerheads, that's when you usually talk to an attorney or a consultant. And
I think, too, until we really know what's how the insurance company is going to look at this, or until we have a better understanding, we're maybe jumping the gun on hiring. They come back and tell you, no, you're just going to do this least amount, and that
we don't get answers as far as that that's going to protect us a longer period of time,
like what Eric,
like what Eric said, then we can decide whether or not we want to hire a consulting group. So,
do we need to take action on this, or can
no.
we just
Mm-mm. we can just leave it? We can just leave it. We put it on here so in case today we wanted to. We don't need to do any action on it. We can postpone that. And based on our discussion, if you can get a hold of them and see if they, somebody would come down on the 5th and visit with our committee about, like, you know, 9:30, 10 o'clock or whatever.
Yep. Yeah, I will do that.
See if that works.
And I would just like to add, there are no leaks at this time. It's just more concerns. There's spots, but they did replace the two that were leaking. So.
Okay. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
Dave, do they anticipate these spots starting to start leaking over the winter?
I would think that they could.
At some point in time, they will.
Right, yeah.
And that's, there's a greater risk because of the freezing and thawing.
Right, and that's what he said. This hail happened, you know, maybe a year, 2 years ago, and it just impacts it, and then it causes that fracture that with the freeze-thaw cycle. That's when it breaks loose.
Okay. No, we can leave that. We don't need to approve or disapprove that agreement. We can leave that and put that on a future agenda item if we need it.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Is that okay with everybody?
Why is insurance for a roof cover problems that happened 2 years ago?
Go ahead and finish.
But there's other insurance for liability and stuff that doesn't cover. When it's actually happening or from when it was in place.
Because we didn't change insurance companies.
Hypothetically, if we got new insurance and the roof had damage, would the new insurance pay for the damage?
I talked to one insurance agent that a company had changed. They were the insurance company when they put in new windows. 2 years later, those windows were found to be defective. The new insurance company didn't have to pay for the windows, even though he did not have the insurance anymore and hadn't had it for 2 years. His company was responsible for paying for those windows.
The old insurance was?
The old insurance company. So, and that's why part of this discussion we've had with everything is you visit with people, there's a lot of situations that happen out there, and then which would seem to reinforce that, yes, we should be covered. However, now we have to go through the court system to
verify that. It should reinforce that we should be covered on the Beatrice 6.
Yes.
Just throwing
that
out there.
But now to prove that or to try and get that affirmative answer for the county, we have to go through the court system. So
lawyers.
Yeah.
Sorry, counselor.
Hey, the lawyers.
Can't live without them. Can't live with them.
Nope.
Last item on the agenda, discuss and approve or disapprove flu shot clinic for eligible county employees.
Is that necessary?
No. But no, we'll have Don explain this a little bit. How it's covered with insurance and how it's not covered, and then there's some of the people that now want to have their flu shot covered.
I initially did not have this on the agenda, and then we have some employees that do not take our insurance that wants the flu shot and feels that the county should pay for it. This motion is for eligible county employees, meaning that if you are on our insurance covers it, as well as anybody who is not on our insurance, they have insurance coverage, their insurance company should cover it because it's a preventative under the Affordable Care Act. So however you decide you want to do this.
We have in the past, though, and this is where I visited with Don and we have had this discussion, we have in the past just covered anybody who wanted the flu shot. We've paid for that flu shot.
I happen to notice an elected official in the audience shaking his head at this. Are you shaking your head because of the expense of this?
No, it just amazes me that if it clearly states eligible people, it's eligible people.
I guess from my standpoint, I just understand eligible means you have insurance with the county and that you're covered. If you don't have that, it's kind of a no-brainer to me. You aren't covered. My opinion. If probably money is not that big a deal, dollar-wise what it's going to cost, but it is what it is. I mean, I don't know what else to tell you.
There has been an employee that's brought it forward that is not on our insurance. It's on his wife's insurance. He wants the county to pay for it because his argument is that's a benefit they're getting that I'm not getting. And
well, and they've chose not to be on our insurance.
And I did speak with that employee at the insurance meeting and explained that he could be on our insurance. Our insurance would be primary. The spouse would be secondary, and gave him the updates, and as well as our representatives spoke with him. And at the time of the final sign-up, he chose to still go with the spouse's insurance and not ours. Now, yes, it has been done in the past where the board has voted to give everybody that is an employee the flu shot. We've done it both ways. This motion says for eligible county employees, and that's what the employee was told was for eligible when we sent out the sign-up, eligible county employees, if you are covered under county health insurance. That's how the notice went out. You guys go from there.
And this clinic's already scheduled. It
will
be
October. Will be on October 10th. That morning they'll start at, I think, 7. They usually do for the highway guys.
So you're okay with this since it says eligible?
Well, I guess. Does it define eligible?
It's written out eligible in this.
Well, to me that
eligible
means...
eligible for it because you have our insurance. Our insurance, we're already paying for your premium. It's covered under the preventative portion of the insurance coverage.
I like the sheriff trying to save money here.
Well, it's not
well,
so
let's
much...
let's talk about saving money. If we have an employee that gets the flu and is off work and gets paid but is not here working and we're... You know, that's costing us money also.
That's a good point.
If we get them a flu shot, which keeps them working and makes them more, well, anyway, they're better off health-wise, we're better off spending the money to pay for the flu shot.
Tell them if they don't have the health insurance of the county, we don't change the needle.
But no, if they bring their insurance card, can Husker Health bill their insurance company?
I don't know if they will do other companies or not. Other people can get the flu shot here that day.
Yeah.
They're just charged for it,
the cost
of the shot.
Why can't this individual just go to his wife's work and get the shot there?
Or you can go to any physician's office.
Yeah.
That's where you would get it.
Yeah,
just go
or
to
the pharmacy.
Physician.
Yeah,
it's
Walmart
covered.
Gives them.
Or Walmart.
Whatever their plan are, I'm not going to say pharmacy because the fact is... It depends on their plan if they will cover a metapharmacy or not. But if they would go to their physician's office, you know that would be covered under preventative care.
What do they charge for a flu shot?
This one is supposed to be a quad, and it's going to be $27 this time because it's covering more than one strain.
Kind of depends on where you go and different things. But
I'm sure it's somewhat of a convenience.
I'll also add
I'm sure it is, too. They're coming here for a few hours, and they're going to give the shot so everybody can get it here. If you want it and you're not on the plan, you still can get a shot. But that's how it's been.
Well, I know that, like Denny said, that they try and make these as convenient. I know with the schools, they offer the same situation, not just employees. As long as you bring your $25 or whatever.
Mm-hmm. We just have to know the number of shots for them to bring. So that's the
whole entertain motion.
I'd like to add that I'm not a motion.
Oh.
I'd like to add, though, that counter to what Denny says, the flu shot does not guarantee that somebody's not going to get the flu. I hadn't had the flu since fourth grade, got the dang flu shot, and it's the sickest I've ever been that year. I hadn't had the flu for 20-some years. I got the flu shot, and that year I got the flu, and that's the sickest I've ever been.
Have you got it since?
No.
Have you got the flu shot?
No.
I'm scared of needles.
I'll just make a comment. Well, on our rescue squad, they will pick it up for us if we don't. But we're required because quite often, or most of the time, the hospitals in Lincoln, they'll put a sign up there sometime during the winter when the flu season hits. If you do not have the flu shot, you cannot come into the hospital.
And you didn't.
That's happened to us several years.
What if you're sick?
We've had a couple people that have gone up there, and the one lady, the one time, says, "I've never had the flu shot." The sign was right there.
Yeah.
She says, "I can't go in." So.
And Gary, you didn't get the flu right after you had the flu shot within the next week.
I can't remember if it was soon.
Oh.
It was soon after it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Flu shots work.
There are. People that
people all the time.
Yep.
Yeah, one quick question when you're all done with this.
Okay. Entertain a motion one way or another. One way or another. Well, we need a motion to approve or disapprove the flu shot clinic for eligible county employees.
I would move to approve the flu shot clinic for eligible county employees.
Okay. We have that motion, but I want to clarify, I want Don to clarify again what eligible county employee is.
Eligible county employee would be someone who is covered under our county insurance plan. That would not mean that someone who is not covered couldn't get it, but they would have to pay for the shot.
Do you understand that part, Denny? Because you brought up the point that you felt everybody should get the shot. So at this rate, we are not paying for someone that's not on our plan. That's still okay. We have that motion. Do we have a second?
Well, I don't know. I was just going to ask Jenny, did you mean to include the non-insurance people in your motion?
I would like to, yes. For $27 a piece, we blow more money.
So then you're going to strike, then you need to redo your motion. You're going to strike eligible county employees and do all
county employees.
I'll second that.
So we have that motion, and Don, just so we know what it is, you want to read it back so we understand.
So you're approving the flu shots to be covered by the county for all county employees that wish to get the flu shot.
Is that the motion, Denny?
Yes.
And John second it? Any more discussion? Gary?
I don't know that I want to discuss, but I want a few seconds before you. Yeah, it's just minimal money.
It's minimal money.
But it's still... It's an added benefit for an employee like the one Don is talking about that other people aren't getting because he chooses not to be on the county's insurance. So I do have a little difficulty with that.
But by the same,
there's other items that we don't offer people that.
Where do we draw the line?
Yeah. Yeah.
By the same token, by not being on the county insurance, it's saving us that premium.
What his premium would be?
Premium is billed to the spouse. Does work.
Does this open the floodgates for things down the road? Besides that, I know how employees work. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
It's a possibility. I mean, just.
Blue shot now, what's next?
Yeah.
So, well, having said that, then, if we don't cover it for all, then do we need to come back and make a motion? If this gets voted down, just asking the question, if this gets voted down, then do we need to come back and make a motion to approve the flu shot clinic for eligible county employees?
Yes.
Okay. Fires and Hill.
I would define, I'd just say county employees.
And we've gotten so over the years that we, because of insurance and a whole lot of other things, we do every detail anymore.
Yeah.
It's frustrating.
It sure is.
John, what are the odds of not getting the flu if you get the flu shot? I mean, if you don't get the flu shot versus you do get the flu shot, what are your chances of catching the flu? Round numbers, I know it's different every year.
It is different every year, and sometimes it just lessens the severity of the flu.
Yeah.
Especially if you have a virus type that's covered.
Yeah. Is this just for weak people or like for all people? Like babies and elderly or like regular people?
Particularly babies, elderly. Like, for instance, I get mine. I've already had mine for like 3 or 4 weeks. That's just...
The elderly at the nursing home where my father-in-law's at, they require all their patients to get it. Yeah. You know, and they will, I can about, not 100% for sure, but there's a good possibility that sometime during the winter, though, they will have limited visiting because too many people have the flu. So it doesn't eliminate it, but it does, John's probably right, it can definitely lessen it. It just... And different people act different to it. So,
well, it all depends on which virus that they've created the flu shot for that year.
Because it could be a whole different one.
So they may do certain a group of a certain ones, and this other one ends up being the one that really affects us all.
If you remember back, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago, it was totally off, and there was a lot of sickness all through the country. And that was the reason.
Well, I've noticed Gary never coughs, and the counselor gets a flu shot every year, and he always has a terrible cough.
Allergies.
Okay. Any more questions? Otherwise, we're ready to vote.
For all county employees.
For all county employees. Vote. Four in favor with Lytle voting no. Hill, Dorn, Byers, and Teeman voting yes, and Lytle voting no. Okay, I guess you had something you said?
Yeah, quick question. Since we redid the road on the Philly Adams Blacktop, which is pretty nice now, we get a considerable amount of complaints on speeding. So I talked to, and there was no speed limit signs really posted out there. So I asked again if we could drop a couple out there just to help our cause, if that helped a little bit. He said we have to have an engineering study done on it. Okay, so I called the state, and I said, well, I guess I'm a little ignorant on this. I said, why do I need an engineering study done on a road, but by statute, the speed limit's 55? She said, you don't have to. If it's in the books, you don't have to worry about it. So I go back, talk to Galen, and said, no, that's Minnelli once had. So my question is, does he charge us every time for an engineering study if we ask for one?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I didn't want to step anybody's toes, but why do I have to have him spend money to tell me that it's 55 miles an hour and post a sign on it?
I thought we needed that because that's what he's told us.
Huh. Imagine that.
I think we need it if it's different.
If you want to change it.
If you want to change it. If the speed limit's 55, and we've had a little bit of this discussion, and then, yeah, because there's other people that approach me, and I'm sure others about it. If it's speed limit's 55, and maybe, Roger, maybe there's some legal thing.
Well, it says, the statute says, unless otherwise posted. Yeah. In other words, it's 55, folks, unless it says 45 or 35. I don't know of too many county roads that are actually posted 60 or 65. Now, everybody drives them like they are. But, and I'm not going to say we're not going to lose a speeding ticket case because, well, I'll just leave it alone.
Yeah, please.
But you can, and again, if you do nothing else but stop them and
warn
give
them
a warning, you know. I don't have any problem with that.
Well, and I know, and that's what I told the guys. They're concerned if they had to give somebody a ticket and go to the court, and they'll use an excuse, you know, how the judge could be on things. And I said, well, I just...
We're the only state that has speed limit signs every 3 miles.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah. The only one up here, I think they all want it 40 by Goldcrest, and outside of that, there's none other than posted.
And that's actually an illegal sign. That's on County Blacktop. The speed limit's actually 55 there. That's not in town. The village had no right to put a sign up. I could go pull that out and it wouldn't matter.
Right.
That's 55 right there.
That's where it should be a study. Then put a different lower speed limit sign if you went there. I can understand that.
And it's 55.
Right. Yep.
That's an illegal sign. Somebody should get ticketed for that.
Can I get a record? Do you think I recorded it? Well, I heard that, right?
That sign is illegal.
But Eric, unless sometime along the line there's been a survey. The Minnelli's been office has done something, and then the board has created that difference.
I don't think the county put that up. That's a village sign. Okay. And, I mean, I'll believe it's real if they show me the paperwork on it. But otherwise, I don't think it's legal, so I don't acknowledge it.
Yeah. Gus, if you've got complaints coming in, it's not for 55 to 60 miles.
Oh, no. No.
It's higher than that.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Hey,
you got a driver's license.
If they assumed it was 60 miles an hour, the complaints that you're getting aren't for somebody driving 60.
No. You got a driver's license. Like I tell people, you know what speed limit is. You took a test. My concern on the whole thing was I can't believe Minnelli is going to make us spend money to say it needs to be 55 because I know it's got to be 55. That's what statute says.
The thing with Galen, all county roads, unless posted otherwise, are 55. That includes our hard surface roads.
But we didn't put up speed limit signs other places because then they said we'd have to start putting up. Everyone would want speed limit signs then.
But they put up signs on Hickory Road. They didn't need no study on that, did they?
Nope.
Well, unless they were there before.
Well, they wouldn't be there on the gravel, you know.
No, you could have had one on the gravel.
But it wouldn't have been 55. It would have been 50.
Yeah, 50. There's a 50-mile-an-hour sign down on the gravel.
Yeah, you're right. It's 50.
Okay.
You are right then.
Yeah.
But I don't know who put it up. We didn't. Or not since I've been here.
I agree. Thank you, Gus, for bringing that up.
Well, I just don't want to spend more money. Actually, it's not my place.
What?
For my office, yes, but not for something like this. I thought would be a waste of money. I just want to bring your attention in case you didn't know that was what was happening on things like that.
Yes, thank you, guys.
Yep. Yep.
And quite frankly, Galen should have be the one bringing this up, not you.
Well, and I didn't mention to anybody going to be here today, but I just thought on me I was going to ask, and I forgot. So.
Okay. Yep. Anything else for the good? If not, we will adjourn at 10:30 on the clock.